Lamentations 3:22 and 23 are wonderful verses that song came from. Great is thy faithfulness. That is from Lamentations. Not normally my go-to book. Lamentation means crying. I avoid that stuff if at all possible. That verse God gave me, that couple verses, when I was ready to give up on my son, who has been wayward for most of his life. And God said, those mercies that are new for you every morning, they're new for Randy every morning, too, no matter what decision he made today. My mercies will still be there for him tomorrow morning and every day. So I want to actually read, beginning with let me find it on here because it's, oh no, that's okay. Verse 18 in chapter 3, my soul is deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Then verse 21 says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. 22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Now here comes a warning for you. Never use the word never when you're talking about yourself or your circumstances. Only in God can we say never or always according to the word, so that you have to be cautious, because I know when I've gotten caught up in a depression funk or in a grumpy mood, I use those words a lot. He's never going to treat me good. I'm never going to lose this weight. She will always be a drunk. They are never going to get better. You catch that? Have you ever done those lines? I've done them. I've rehearsed them. And God said, only use never or always when you're talking about my love, never ceasing. My mercies are new every morning, always. So there's your warning. I was looking in my Bible, my study Bible, and here were the notes about this book, Lamentations, the sovereignty of God, the justice of his judgments, and the hope of restoration after judgment. So the book isn't just gloom and doom. As a matter of fact, I used to avoid learning about the minor prophets in the Bible because I had always heard they're just a bunch of gloom and doom. And again, I try to avoid those things if I can help it. But the minor prophets, what I learned as I did a study with them, is that they're over and over, God is saying, you're messing up, but I'm going to give you another chance. My mercy is here for you. If you will just turn around and look at me and follow me, I will restore you. But if you stop and think about it, the people that were breaking all of God's laws were hurting people. And those people were calling out to God, God, please stop this. So on one hand, someone is asking God or ignoring God and going on their way. Someone else is saying, God, please stop them. And so many times, it's hard to reconcile God's mercy with his judgment. We all want judgment on someone else. You know, that guy just ran a red light. God, where's the police officer? Oh, I just ran a red light. Oops, Lord, please forgive me. Don't let anyone catch me. Right? I've been there too many times. Okay, we won't go there anymore. When it comes to hope, I think about my son. And I think about the times that I almost wrote him off. And I want you to just consider Jesus in Romans 5:8. This is a scripture I pulled up here. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So it goes on and on. God promises his life, but he promised it before we were good, before we were saved. Of course, when we are saved, it's by his righteousness. It's not because of our goodness, right? So I just want to encourage you, don't write anyone off. Start with your own acquaintances. You may meet someone and you may immediately get a thought, wow, I should maybe invite them to church, or just say an encouraging word. They don't want to hear it. My pastor at McChesney Park says, don't say no for someone else. Okay? Sometimes we're tempted to do that, aren't we? Say no for someone else. They won't want to hear it. So I won't even try. So stop and consider the hope that is in you and how you can offer that to someone else. I think about my sister Julie, who passed away in February. A lot of you were praying for her. She had cancer. She did go on to heaven. Our politics did not come in line with each other. But God kept reminding me, that's not as important as her soul. Make sure she knows the Lord. Don't argue worldly stuff. And so when we were at the end, she shared with me what she wanted in her funeral, which she had not shared with anyone. No one even knew if she wanted a funeral. But she did in her last hours with me. And if we had been arguing politics, I'll guarantee that wouldn't have come up. My dad was an alcoholic, certainly could have written him off. He was a terrible dad in a lot of ways. In some ways, he was really good. In the last couple of years, God reconciled us, and we had wonderful times together. And God assured me that all he had to do was call on Jesus' name, and he knew that. All he had to do was do that before he was gone, before he died. And I believe that God gave him that opportunity, and I have a peace with that. So I didn't write him off. God is no respecter of persons. Great and small, the Lord God made them all. Ever hear that? Speaking of small, we have a guest here. Her name is, used to call her Baby Grace, but she's a big 3-year-old now, so I can't call her my Baby Grace. But Grace is here, and you all prayed for her and for her mama, Mindy. When Mindy was pregnant, Baby Grace had to come out early, way early, like 3 months early. We were just talking last night. She was 12 inches long. I told the kids at the school I was teaching at, she's like the size of a Barbie doll. A lot of people write babies off that are that little, that are that early. They write them off. Thank God he didn't write her off. Baby Grace is bouncing and jumping, and she gives her mama a run for her money. I always have told her since she was born, this girl's got spirit and spunk, and you're just going to have to go with it, because that's what helped her survive. And I thank you for your prayers and your camaraderie during that time. That was hard. And they still need prayers, because she's still growing, and she's still giving her mom a run. But God doesn't write us off. When you drive by the Rockford Rescue Mission, wondered how I was going to segue into that, didn't you? We're right across from the jail. We see people walking into the courthouse, into the jail. Some of those people we're tempted to just write off. There's a man that stands in front of our rescue mission. He's got mental health issues. Never been violent or anything like that. He stays at the mission. But he prefers to stand outside with all his layers of clothing in his bag. I always say, hi, Willie. Sometimes he'll meet my eyes. Most times not. Sometimes he'll even say hello. I won't write him off. I'm praying that God will restore him somehow. He hears God's word every night. Because at the mission, as most of you know, we have a chapel service every evening before dinner. And the gospel is preached every evening before dinner. So he hears God's word. And God says that his words are what transform our minds. So I pray for Willie. I won't give up, because God said his mercies are new every morning. What is it that makes you write people off? Apathy? I'm busy. I got a lot to do. I think about the Good Samaritan story, the priest and the Levite. You know, we think they're terrible people. Ooh, that's us. How many times has that been us? I'm in a hurry. I've got to get there. I'll never forget, at our wedding, our best man was late. Not our best man, one of the groomsmen was late, because he stopped to help someone in his tux. You know, and that was just like him. And it was not a surprise to us. He didn't succumb to that, I'm too busy. He was a good man. Sometimes it's anger. You don't deserve to get God's peace and mercy. What you've done is horrible. Remember the story of Jonah? I remember doing that in Bible school here. It was amazing. John Brown built a boat up here that actually moved in the waves. And we had the worm that crawled across. Remember that? Crawled across there with the Pink Panther theme. It was wonderful. Jonah said, God, I don't want you to save them. They're horrible people. He was angry. He wrote them off. Sometimes we just think there's no hope. So I'll go on to other more important things or different things. There's just no hope. I don't want to get my heart set again because there's no hope. That's the way it was with my son. I would get my hopes up. I remember telling my husband once, can we stop calling him a prodigal son now? And he said, well, you shouldn't be calling him that anyway. I said, well, that's the way I feel. And yet God keeps encouraging me. I'm not done with him yet. And I will tell you, my son was a resident at the mission twice. Dropped out both times. Stinker. For his own reasons, whatever they were, he didn't stick with it. And, man, each time it's like, okay. It's like in Lamentations where he said, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. But what brought him back was remembering the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And God said that about my son Randy. And so I keep praying. We've been able to visit him, by the way, several times in the last few years. At Thanksgiving, I asked him, do you have a Bible? Now, a year before that, he would have been angry with me for even mentioning the Bible. And he was rude to me about it. So I was treading lightly. As we were leaving, I said, Randy, do you have a Bible? And he said, no. I said, do you want one? And he said, well, it'd have to be large print because I've got these new bifocals and they're not working right. So he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. Mama got on it as soon as I got home, sent him a Bible. He texted saying, this is a really nice Bible. When we visited him in May, he said he'd been reading it. And I know when he was in the mission, those two times, some might say, write him off. He gave up twice. Forget it. Write him off. But he got tools when he was in the mission. Tools that he has taken with him that have helped him. And it's been a gradual process of God peeling away layers of bitterness and whatever he's dealing with that he doesn't talk to us about. And God is showing us, he's giving us glimpses that Randy really is getting better. He is being more sensitive to other people. He actually bought his dad a coffee mug when we went Thanksgiving. And he's never bought Jerry a gift since he's been an adult. It was a simple coffee mug from the dollar store. He said, it's nothing. But he was thinking ahead and he said, I want you to have a cup of coffee while we're watching the game on TV. Just those thoughts of, or acts of thoughtfulness are very new to him. But I know he saw it modeled at the rescue mission. And when we weren't able to talk to him about God's word, I know he was getting it at the mission. I know that because they have regular studies all day. They have Bible studies. They have book studies. They have that. They also get in work training. All that happens. They are up about 6 in the morning and they don't go to sleep till 9 at night and they are kept busy. They volunteer in the kitchen. They sometimes are out shoveling sidewalks or pulling weeds, but they are always kept busy and kept in community, and the Word of God permeates all that they do. The first Friday of every month, you're invited to the mission at 2:00 in the afternoon. First Friday of every month, we have a celebration program. For those that are in the program, they stage up through different stages of their process of healing. And it's always wonderful. We hear testimonies every time. And some of them will definitely make you cry. But they all give testimony to hope and God's love. And Suzanne is one I like to tell about. She came in, she was referred by a judge, or by Joe Bruscato, state's attorney. Remember, he came to give a seminar to us, the staff, on the opioid epidemic going on. And I had just met Suzanne. She was on staff. I didn't know her. And she said, I've got to talk to him after the class. And she came back and told me later, she said, he gave me a choice. It was prison or come to the mission. And she chose the mission. And she said, I'm a new person. She became a staff member. Then recently I heard that she quit, and I was devastated because she was so joyful and so friendly, and I thought, oh, we need her here. But then I heard she's actually getting a master's degree in social work. And that's what's happened at the mission over and over. It's a cycle of wonderful stories. Brandon, the kid, every time I see him, he's either just gotten out of a Bible study or he's got his nose in his Bible. He came from a good family, came to the crisis center, wanted to get his family, referred him to the recovery program. But they said, first you got to go into the crisis center. And that could be kind of rough. The crisis center are those that aren't ready to make that change. We have crisis center. We have the recovery program that's upstairs. And many times before they come into the recovery program, they have to spend time in the crisis center. And there are classes for them. We always make sure everyone gets a clean, nice bed for the evening, 3 meals. We do over 400 meals a day for the guests as well as the residents. And Brandon came there, and he was just giving his testimony last Friday, a week ago, and the guys were kind of teasing him. He was saying he was scared to death because he had never been to a rescue mission, and to think he had to stay in this crisis area. And they were able to, with God's grace, get him up to the recovery program right away. So he didn't have to spend a lot of time there because it totally freaked him out. But other guys have to spend some time in there before they make it into the program, because it's a big commitment, 9 to 12 months. And then a lot of people, men or women, stick around another year before they are totally transitioned out, because we don't send anyone out and say, your 9 months is up. We individualize each one. And Brandon is one of those that is just, he became a Christian 2 weeks after being at the mission. And is so on fire for God. It is just exciting. Every time I talk to him, he's got a testimony. So that's what the mission does, is works with people in giving hope. When they come in, I can't imagine having to go to the mission for help. I can't imagine myself being in that position. I hope that I never am in that position. I will tell you, though, it's something that I heard someone say the other day I thought was very, very wise. They said, homelessness isn't necessarily just caused by poverty. It's broken relationships. I could lose all my money today, but I got kids that'll take me in. Yeah. Baby Grace will let me in. I know it. You know, those relationships are still there. But so many people that come to the mission, it's because those relationships aren't there anymore. People have written them off. They've written other people off. It could be, like in our son's case, it was not safe for our other kids for him to be in our home because of the choices he was making. So the mission was there to help our family big time. So I want to tell you, I'm just going to list off the different aspects in the mission. And if you ever want to come out and help us, of course, we live by volunteers. Over 400 volunteers come through the doors in a month in different ways. We have the Men's Crisis Center. We have the Men's Life Recovery. We have, and the same for women. We have food service. That's our meals. Works Center. We actually help people to get jobs, as Shirley did. And also, not just, you know, push them out the door, but we are becoming a GED testing site. Only the second one around here. So right now you have to go to Loves Park. So each time our residents are working on their GED, you have to do the test for each different subject. And so we would have to have staff or volunteer take them to Loves Park. to do the testing. We're hopefully in August, that's going to be set up at the mission, and it's open for the whole community. Isn't that cool? We actually have basic computer classes open to anyone in the community, and for our residents as well. We also have, if you ever want to donate office clothing that would be good to wear in an interview, we keep a closet for that. And we help them know how to do an interview, how to do a resume. It's changed since I did my resumes 30 years ago. You know, there's so many new things happening. Hope Clinic. We have a clinic in the building that's open Monday through Thursday mornings. We're looking for more professionals so we can have it open more hours. All of our professionals that come in donate their time. Many in their own office donate services. So because we don't do prescription drugs or anything, we don't do any extractions for the teeth, but we can send them to dentists and doctors that will give them service gratis. That's how it all works. The thrift store is out at 20th and Harrison. That alone brings in $1.5 million to the mission every year. It's amazing. That's all from donations. And they need sorters, by the way, because people bring in a lot of donations and we just need people to come in. Some people come in for an hour a day, or they'll do like one day a week. They'll come in for like 3 hours and just sort. And it's a good atmosphere. We have a cafe right next door to the mission. Anyone been to the cafe? You got to go. It's good. I go too often. Sorry. Don't tell Jerry. But what's cool about the cafe, this, I love to tell this story, is that it was built to be a vocational track for the residents so they can learn a trade. They were learning to be baristas as well as customer service and cooking, and they are required, that's part of their requirement in their program, to work in the cafe. Can you imagine? We're right across from the jail, just down the street from the courthouse. We have a lot of officers, attorneys, judges come in for a cup of coffee, for lunch, for breakfast. Can you imagine the recognition that happens between some of those people that were referred by those people, or that had been in conflict with some of those people, and to see each other in a positive light? That just thrills my heart whenever I consider that. And it's good food. And all the money stays at the mission for the programs. We have a remade shop that started with art class with the women almost 10 years ago. They realized, hey, we're making these kind of things. Ooh, working with Urban Farm Girl, they worked out that they could start selling those things, and they opened a storefront in the fall. And it's right next to the cafe, which is right next to the mission. So we've got, you know, a lot of land there that is being used for God's glory. And the remade shop is gorgeous. So I'll go back to my notes here. Make sure, finish up. Jerry says, have a finish, Charmel. Okay, I'm listening. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The next time you see someone or hear about someone who's done something wrong, despicable, disappointing, remember God's mercies are new every morning for him when you catch yourself writing them off. Thank God for his faithfulness in your life. Ask him how he wants you to share him with that person. Aren't you glad that God didn't write you off? Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and hope. Amen.